And will you turn in your copy of the scriptures to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2? We're going to read verses 22 through 38 this morning as Luke introduces us to the third of the three wise women whom he associates with the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. We're going to be introduced to Anna this morning. We'll meet her in verses 36, 37, 38, right at the very end of our reading. And those verses will be the text for our sermon. We're going to begin, though, at verse 22, as Jesus is taken by Mary and Joseph up to the temple. Here's God's word. "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword shall pierce your own soul, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.'" That is the word of our God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are thankful for such words as these, and we pray that you would draw near to us now, that your word would be impressed upon our minds, written upon our hearts. But our Father, especially, we pray that we would have the joy, the hope, the encouragement that comes from recognizing the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of God, the Redeemer of all who trust in him. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. "I can't wait." Have you ever said that? Maybe you're looking forward to things that are going to happen later this week. You're looking forward to a gathering of family. You're looking forward to a wonderful meal. You're looking forward to some gifts and presents. "Oh, I can't wait." Maybe you've put some hints out about what might be appropriate gifts and presents. I could really use such and such, and I need this. And of course, perhaps you do that because you've had the experience of receiving a gift that really you have little use for. You don't know what to do with it. In the package of gifts that God, the Holy Spirit, gives to his people, the rich package of graces that is described as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, a part of that package has one gift that, well, it's not exactly a piece of coal, but we're not quite sure if we want it, because Paul tells us that a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his people is patience. And of course, it seems that if God is giving us patience, that somehow that's tempting providence. If we're being given it, maybe that's because we're going to need it, and we don't really want to be in the situation where we have to be patient. Well, this morning I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you by setting before you Anna, the one who's described in Luke 2, verses 36 through 38. Anna is someone who models for us the wisdom of a godly patience, and she models it for us in such a winsome and delightful way as to help us understand why it's a wise thing for us to be patient with the patience that God the Holy Spirit gives to those who are the redeemed people of Christ. And we want to look at what Anna has to show us this morning. And beginning our three-verse passage, we're going to see at verse 36 and the beginning of verse 37, we're going to see the need for patience. At the end of verse 37, we're going to see how patience is exercised, the exercise of patience. And then in verse 38, we'll see the reward of patience, a patience rewarded. So patience necessary, patience exercised, and patience rewarded. And we meet Anna in verse 36, and Luke introduces her to us. Anna, her name is the New Testament counterpart of the Old Testament name, Hannah. And you know, we often think about people in a certain way if we've had an experience of someone who shares that name. And so we're sympathetically disposed to Anna right up front because we know an Old Testament Hannah who was a wonderful person. We're interested to know what does Luke have to tell us about Anna. And Luke does indeed have some things to tell us about her. She was a prophetess. Now, I'm intrigued by that. I want to know what's going on there. That sounds absolutely fascinating. But what Luke highlights for us is the fact that Anna was advanced in years. She was up in years, and we wonder, what was it she did during that long and presumably very full life? We're curious. Anna the prophetess, how did she fill those years? And Luke tells us how she filled those years. She filled those years waiting. They were years spent waiting and waiting and waiting. She's identified in verse 38 with a community of people who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. That's absolutely amazing. Surely there's more to tell us about Anna than this. But no, Luke highlights the fact that she is someone who waited, and she waited for a long time. She waited for God to act, because as she looked around, as she looked at the situation that existed in Jerusalem, as she looked at the situation that existed in her land, where there was oppression, where there was injustice, where there was godlessness, where a Messiah was needed, she was deeply dissatisfied with what she saw, and she waited for God to intervene. God gave to her a spirit of holy discontent so that she waited with patience for God to act. And she waited and waited and waited. Now, you and I know what it is to have to wait. We want things, and we want them now. We look around us and we see things that are far from how we would like them. We're dissatisfied with the way things are. We know that things are not right. We recognize so many things, not just the things that we've seen in the headlines, but the things that we've experienced personally, the things that we've experienced in our own lives. And we know that things are not as they should be, and we long for God to intervene. We pray that God will intervene. We wait for God to do something, to put things right. Patience is required. The fruit of the Holy Spirit includes patience. And Anna is someone who's waiting for God to act. Lamentations 3, verse 26, the part of our call to worship this morning, reminds us that it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God's people recognize with dissatisfaction the imperfections of the situation in which they find themselves. And as they find themselves in those situations, they wait with patience for the Lord's salvation. They look for God to act. And those who look for God to act are not going to be disappointed, because God will act in accordance with his promise. Anna was someone who knew that God had promised a Messiah. He knew that God had promised that liberty and freedom and redemption would come to Jerusalem. She thought back perhaps to Isaiah 52 verses 9 and 10, where the prophet speaks of God intervening in such a way that the liberation, the freedom of Jerusalem would become the talking point of the whole world. And she was waiting for that to happen because she knew that God had promised it. And God is a God who keeps his word. He keeps his promises. If someone has promised to do something for you, and you know that person to be unreliable, when they don't do it immediately, you think it's not going to happen. And the more time passes, the more and more convinced you are that that person's not going to act. But if someone who's reliable and trustworthy, someone who has a proven track record of keeping his or her word, if that person promises something, with the passage of time, you know the fulfillment of the promise is increasingly imminent. You're getting closer and closer to the time the promise is going to be fulfilled because you know that person's trustworthy. That is our God. He is a trustworthy God. All the promises, all the good promises that he makes to his people find their yes and their amen in the person of the Lord Jesus. He is the assurance, he is the guarantee that the good things promised by God to his people will come to pass. And as we, the people of God, identify with Anna, as we wait, we have confidence that God will keep his word. The prophet Habakkuk, you remember, is impatient for God to act. And God speaks to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 3 of his prophecy and says, though my response tarries, it will not delay. Okay, there may be a wait, but there's actually no delay. God is going to act at the right time. And in fact, as Anna went into that temple, on that day, as she did day after day after day, as she was going in one door, through another door was coming a little family group. Isn't that right? Mary and Joseph carrying a little bundle. And that little bundle represented the answer to Hannah's prayers. The Messiah that she had been praying for, waiting for, the one who would be the Redeemer of Jerusalem, the one who would be the Savior of his people. God has a timetable that's devised according to his wisdom, not according to our impatience. That's why we wait for God to act. The Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, you remember, in Galatians 4, verse 4, and says, at the right time, or when the time was fulfilled, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. You see, God was at work. Even though for years Anna had seen nothing happening, God was at work behind the scenes. And God was going to intervene and act at exactly the right time. That gives us encouragement. Remember some words that we thought on earlier this week in a different context where the writer to the Hebrews speaks of the throne of grace that we approach with boldness on account of the Lord Jesus, confident that there we will find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Timely grace, grace that comes at the right time when we need it, in the form that we need it, not according to our timetable, but according to God's. So here there's a need for patience. And Anna demonstrates the way in which that need was expressed in her life. But Anna also is a wonderful example of how to exercise patience. What do we do while we wait? And of course, we don't always behave the way we ought while we're waiting. Isn't that right? And sometimes it's the little things. We pace up and down. We get very fidgety. We bite our nails. And sometimes, of course, it's things that maybe are even less healthy than that. We get irritable, impatient. We act out of character. It's good for us to remember we're in a situation, of course, nowadays that's stressful, that tries our patience. Your brothers and sisters are under stress, and it's good for you as you experience that stress yourself and as you seek the grace of God to quell the impulses, to be irritable, to act out of character, to be grumpy. Your brothers and sisters are experiencing those same trials. So when perhaps your brother or sister acts out of character or seems irritable, or be patient with them. Show them the love and the patience of the Lord Jesus. Pray for them that God will give them the grace that they need in their trial. Be supportive of them. Be encouraging of them. Anna actually sets us a great example of how to exercise godly patience. Because what does she do? Well, Luke tells us at the end of verse 37, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer, night and day. She was always there in the temple. Someone has said every time the temple doors were open, she was there. Every time there was a service at the temple, well, Anna was going to be there. That's an amazing thing. She was one of a group of people who were waiting for God to act, who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, and she made it her practice to be constantly there in the temple, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, decade in and decade. How old was Anna? Well, we're told that she was married for 7 years. And then the ESV says she was 86 years. So we think, okay, 7 years. She may have got married as she probably got married as a teenager, 7 years of marriage. She was probably widowed in her early 20s. And 86, when she's 86 years old, she's there in the temple. Actually, you may notice there's a little footnote. There may be a little footnote at the bottom of your page, because the Greek is a little bit ambiguous. It may have been that she was married for 7 years. That takes her maybe through to early 20s, say 21, and then was widowed for 86 years. Now, I don't know. You know, when we think of it, 85, that's kind of oldish. 105 is really old. It's old by anyone's standard. And there she is, day in and day out. She's at the temple. She's there worshiping, she's praying, she's fasting. Isn't that wonderful? When I was a youngster, when I would look at someone who was my age, I thought, that's really old. I just can't imagine being that. Now it doesn't seem so bad at all. But I recall when I was a youngster in the congregation where I grew up, that those I want to say elderly saints because they looked elderly to me. They're probably my age. Those elderly, and they were always there. They were there. They were at the prayer meeting. They were there to greet me when I would come to the church. But they would ask after me. They cared for me as a covenant child of the congregation. They prayed for me. And the Lord only knows how those faithful prayers were answered. A community of people committed to waiting on the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. Just to be there is an encouragement. Your presence is an encouragement to the brothers and sisters. Here's Anna. She's there every day. She's praying. She's fasting. She's seeking the Lord's mercy. She's seeking the Lord's intervention. She's someone who stands as a glorious example to us, someone who prayed and prayed and prayed. Jesus tells us, or Luke tells us in chapter 18, verse 1, that Jesus taught his disciples a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not give up. They should constantly pray. Be encouraged to keep on praying. That was what Anna did while she waited. She waited for God to act, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she didn't stop praying. She kept on praying and kept on praying. You and I, well, I give up too easily. I'll not impugn your prayer life. But let me just say, the people of God don't always pray as they ought. During the times when we want things to be put right, when we look around and see problems, we don't always carry them to the Lord in prayer, as the hymn writer says. We do other things, and we respond in other ways that are less healthy. We learn from the example of Anna, who prayed constantly. And of course, we remember the Lord Jesus, who continuously intercedes for his people. He always prays. He never stops praying for his beloved people. And here is Anna constantly going up to pray and being a part of a community of people who are praying. People who know things are not right, who are praying for one another, praying for the situation. You know, we're part of a community of people that's in a situation where things are not right. I wonder how this little community manifests itself. I wonder, as they gathered in the temple day by day, did they check in on each other? How are you doing? Maybe the brother or sister who doesn't appear because she's depressed, he's depressed. It's just gone on a long time. There doesn't seem to be anything changing. And perhaps reaching out to that person to encourage them, to remind them. Remember what it says in Lamentations 3? It's good to wait for the salvation of the Lord, encouraging one another with the words of God's truth, the words of God's promise. And yes, I'm sure going to one another's funerals, and at those funerals, reminding the survivor, reminding one another that it's better to live a life looking to God, waiting for God to act, than to live a life that's directed in other ways, that doesn't have that hope and that confidence that God will intervene in the end. And you know, God does intervene. And Luke records for us how Anna found her patience wonderfully and gloriously rewarded, because she gets to meet the infant Messiah. And there she is in the temple as she has made it her business to be day in and day out. Remember Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, that says, "Behold, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly appear in his temple." And Anna wanted to be there so she wouldn't miss the sudden appearance of the Lord. And was she ever rewarded for her faithfulness? Because when the Messiah came suddenly into the temple, unexpectedly, in the arms of his mother, Anna was there, ready to meet him. And there she was. And I wonder, did she hear the commotion as Simeon took that child in his arms? Maybe see the little knot of people. Maybe she overheard Simeon's words. And Luke tells us in verse 38, that Anna came up at that very hour. Now, it's the language. This is dynamic language. She may be in her 80s. She may be in her hundreds. But there's nothing wrong with her hearing. There's nothing wrong with her eyesight. There's nothing. Oh, she's a spry little thing. And there she is. She's right there. Suddenly, she's there. She's beside them. And she looks on the Messiah for whom she has. This is a Kodak moment. This is one of those precious moments. You've got someone at the end of her life. Looking on someone right at the beginning of life. Does your photograph album have any photographs of you with great-grandma when you were a baby, or with grandpa when you were little? Those are precious photographs. You know, when we have a ministry out at Friends Nursing Home, and the Knox families take their children out there, and you see the residents at Friends brightening up. They see those children. They're excited. The promise of hope, the promise of life. And oh, for Anna, how much more so as she looks on this child and recognizes that this is the Messiah. This is the promised child. What excitement, what joy in that. This is the prophecy of Isaiah. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Picked up in the words of the hymn, to us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the hosts of heaven. Here is the Redeemer that God has promised, and Anna is there to see him and recognize him, and she speaks to everyone of what she's seen and what's happening. This is absolutely marvelous. The daughter of Phanuel gets to meet Jesus, this baby who's the Messiah. Phanuel, how many Phanuels do you know? I don't know any. The name means the face of God. Who gives their child the name face of God? You might think, well, a family of very good-looking people. Actually, a family of Godward-looking people. A family of people who recognizes the preciousness of that blessing, the blessing that Anna would have heard day in and day out at the temple, that the Aaronic blessing, remember Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And the family of Phanuel was a family that treasured that blessing and the promise that was embodied in that. And now here is the daughter of Phanuel, and she looks on the face of God incarnate in the person of the Lord Jesus. That is a glorious thing. Paul tells us that we have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus. The Savior has come into the world. The Savior for whom Anna longed, now she sees him. Now he's there. This is the glorious thing that the people of God long for and look for. And of course, we, the people of God, identify with Anna because we're waiting. And we find ourselves in circumstances that are unsatisfactory. We have a godly discontent that should play out in a godly patience as we wait for the salvation of God and wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus. John writes the book of Revelation to encourage Christians who are going through hard times. Christians who are struggling, Christians to whom he gives the exhortation to persevere, to endure, to hang in there in the face of difficulty and persecution and hardship and sickness and death. And at the end of his prophecy, he describes for them that glorious vision of New Jerusalem and the great hope of the people of God. Revelation 22, verse 4, they will see his face. And you and I persevere in trial and difficulty, in disappointment and sadness, because we know the Lord Jesus. And we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we have the assurance that we will see his face. And so Anna teaches us, it's very wise for us to be patient as we await the salvation of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the richness of your word, and we pray that you would give us grace by your Holy Spirit to feast on the good things that your word has for us, to know Jesus, the one who is the bread of life, the true manna come down from heaven to nourish hungry souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.